I wish these dogs would sleep in for once. They wake up so early.
Know what else is early that we all need to wake up to? Medicare open enrollment.
How early?
Starts October 15th this year and ends on December 7th.
So it's time to review my health and prescription drug coverage.
If you're happy with your old Medicare plan, you don't need to do a thing. Or you might find a new plan with better coverage, higher quality, or less cost. You won't know unless you take a look.
Medicare open enrollment starts earlier this year. It's October 15th through December 7th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov to compare and review Medicare plans.
Medicare gives you free cancer screenings, free annual wellness visits, and a 50% discount on brand-name prescription drugs when you're in the donut hole. It's all part of the healthcare law.
Medicare open enrollment ends on December 7th. Learn more at 1-800-MEDICARE or Medicare.gov. A message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and not Nikki Nellis this morning. Nikki is on her way back from Philadelphia, and David Hagedorn, the chairman emeritus of food writers at the Washington Post, has joined me for some loquacious repartee.
Hi, David. How are you?
Well, hi there, David. How are you? David,
I'm so honored to be here on your last show.
Oh, wait, I'm glad you're not behaving already. All right, so we do have a great show. We've got, this is going to be awesome. We've got chefs, TV stars, cookbook authors, and brothers, Brian and Michael Voltaggio. The world out there probably knows them from Top Chef when they competed in, I guess, the second to last season on Bravo. And Michael actually won, and Brian came in second. But honest to God, if you've had the food of either, you know that they're both tops.
Brian says it was fixed.
Brian apparently beat the crud out of Michael afterwards. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't know that. But they're both going to be on. Michael's in California. Brian's on his way in, and they've got a new cookbook out called Volt Inc., which is a fabulous cookbook with recipes and stories from them both.
You know, you just looked at the pictures.
Are you going to start with me?
Oh, yeah.
That's my wife's purview, not yours.
She told me to say that.
Okay. And what's interesting, I think, is they're from Frederick, Maryland. And not that you can't be a great chef from Frederick, Maryland, but this is all really the inspiration from their mom's and, you know, their parents' kitchen that turned out these two incredible chefs. So they'll be on. Kathy Shepard Hoare is the owner, and Andrew Little, he likes to be Andy, is the executive chef at the Shepard Mansion in Hanover, Pennsylvania. They're in with us. Hagedorn, you were there.
I was there, and they are also the subjects of a fascinating, in-depth piece in the Washington Post.
Written by?
Oh, David Hagedorn.
Crass self-promotion.
Amazing coincidence.
And lucky for me, Nikki's not here, because today we're gonna get into a very serious subject. We'll be demystifying the world of floral design with a woman who is known as the Julia Child of Flowers. She's Sarah Von Pilaro from Urban Petals, wife of Sam, who was a previous guest on the show from Venga. And Sarah's going to be in trying to, I think the last time I touched flowers was to pull them out of my garden, you know, when I was cleaning back there. So I don't know, diddly, but this should be interesting.
Your floral arrangements are made for radio, David.
Yeah, that's right. And you have a face for radio, I want to say. All right. So, and also with us all the way, I just got off the train from New York, is Dwayne Fernandez Jr., who is a top finalist from season 2 of NBC TV's reality show, The Search for America's Top Bartender. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
You alive? Are you awake?
I am. I was beating the clock trying to get here.
You made
the
it.
Traffic.
And I like you. You can stay. You're a cool dude. You'll just stick around.
Thank you.
Our house, hang out.
I'm here. I'm here all day.
So. All right. And you're going to be doing stuff with Frangelico and Russian Standard Vodka. We're going to hear about all that. And, you know, let's start with you.
We've
got to start with the show. Tell us, you know, we got about 3 minutes here. Just give us a fast one over. How did all that happen?
You know, I was never taught how to bartend, and so, but I was thrown behind a bar one night, and they started...
Thrown, like, in a fight, or...
No, okay. Just put behind the
just
bar.
Just checking.
They needed some help, and so instead of me knowing recipes, I just started putting recipes together, and people started noticing, and I started creating cocktails, and here I am today in D.C., my first time in D.C. doing the program. I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you. So... All right, so you're in mixing up things with Frangelico and Russian Standard Vodka. This is not bull hockey. I love Frangelico, but I always have it straight up or on the rocks.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I know, but I mean, it never occurred to me that, you know, anybody could do anything else with it.
Well, you know, that's the great thing about, you know, the craft of the cocktail that's making its, you know, its era.
I like that. That's very alliterative, the craft of the cocktail.
So what we're doing is really going back to those, you know, old classic recipes from the late 1800s to the 1900s. And if you know, Frangelico is over 300 years old. So, you know, there's a lot of recipes with that spirit in it. And I'm so happy to make some for you today.
Well, what are you going to make first?
Well, today I'm going to start off with a classic Moscow Mule, but I'm going to amp it up and make it a holiday version. So I'm going to add fresh ginger, rosemary, cranberry, fresh cranberries, and of course, ginger beer, Russian Standard Vodka, citrus, and agave nectar.
You know, the great thing about this show is that you can get cranked. I love it.
Well, I'm hoping by the end of the hour, we'll all be in a much better mood.
Well, I'm in a good mood now. I got no problem. All right, so why don't you get to work? Don't worry about the ice and the noise and all that. Do your thing.
All right.
And Kathy and Andy, let's get you guys in here. Kathy Shepard-Hora is the owner and the chief cook and bottle washer, not chief cook, but bottle washer and boss woman of Shepard Mansion up in Hanover, Pennsylvania. And Andy Little is the executive chef. And I'm going to let Hagedorn say stuff, because you went up there and you spent the night and you had a meal, and he's a tough audience. When he comes back, first of all, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
But when, you know, when he comes back making happy noises, it's a good place. So say something.
That's true. I went with Amanda McClements from Metricurian, a good friend of the Nellises in this program.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, when we went up there to Hanover, which is the snack food capital of the United States.
Did you bring me back pretzels or no?
Don't be an utz. You know, we really didn't know what to expect. And then it's this beautiful house, and the rooms are beautiful, and everyone was so gracious. But it was when we took the first bite of food, Amanda and I looked at each other, and we were like, whoa, this guy's for real.
Well,
and it was just
real.
An amazing meal.
Right there, huh? All right, so Kathy, tell us, I mean, I know the backstory here, but give us the 411 on Shepard Mansion.
Well, the house was actually built by my great-grandparents in 1913, and they lived in the house until they passed on in 1960. And from the time my great-grandmother passed on in 1960 until I was kind of out of college and looking for something to do, the house was fully furnished but unoccupied. Oh. So there was still food in the basement, clothes in the drawers. It was kind of creepy.
What kind of food was in
mincemeat and Apple Jack from 1926. I mean, it was when we cleaned out the basement, there were some fun smells, cures for diseases, that kind of thing going on.
Or diseases themselves.
So anyway, as a family, we decided to undergo this restoration renovation project and restore it back to its 1913 grandeur, I guess. And so it's kind of this wonderful little time capsule, and what makes it so interesting is that it's the continuity of all of the things there, the rugs, the chandeliers, the pieces of furniture that you collect over a lifetime of just kind of living that reflects the personal tastes of the individuals who live there. That's all there.
That's nice. We have something in common because my family is currently engaged in bringing back to life the mud hut that my grandparents lived in the Ukraine. And we'll be planting potatoes in the half-acre plot.
You always got to work the shtetl in, don't you?
Those Cossacks.
You need to let that go.
There are Cossacks listening. The heck with you. All right. So how did you find Andy?
Well, we actually went to high school together, believe it or not.
Oh,
and,
something you want to talk about? Or?
No, nothing there. We just, you know, through these kind of... Actually, his mom called me, and when he was... he was early in his career and said, did you know Andrew is a chef and were you interested? And she had heard through the grapevine, which is very short in Hanover, that we were
it's
thinking about.
It's actually just a grape, isn't it?
Yeah. Kind of like our family trees or bushes and all of that. But no, so she had heard and she called me and one thing led to another. And, you know, his style of cuisine married very nicely with the atmosphere and what we were looking to do at the mansion and integrating both of those visions, I guess.
All right, well, let's turn to Andy. Now, I read up a little on you. You're obviously, again, a Hanover native, but you wanted to be a professional tuba player, which isn't weird. I don't think it's weird at all, Andy. And and then you ended up at the Culinary Institute, and you were at the Inn at Little Washington, and then you were up at Evermay in Bucks County that even a dope like David Nellis has heard of. Evermay was a legendary place. And now you're back home. Is it the country thing for you? Is it because, you know, a lot of guys, we know a lot of people who passed through the Inn at Little Washington who ended up here in D.C., you know, big city stuff. What's your deal?
Well, I mean, the opportunity to come home is it's a fantastic opportunity. And the opportunity to be really right beside the ingredients was fantastic. And actually, if you can spin around, I don't want to get away from the lamp. We have some ham that we cured that maybe we should have as a snack.
Well, here. Oh no, let's not.
If there's one thing Nellis knows about, it's ham.
Oh, so we brought some food.
I'm so glad you're here. Here, we'll put this here. I don't know where to put this.
Hey, that's the ham.
Oh, is that what we're doing? Okay, here. I don't know what. Here,
that's,
I'm going to
take
better.
This.
Yum.
So, you know, to be able to be out in, you know, right at the source of the ingredients and grow our own and raise our own and work with farmers who are raising it, you know, it completes the circle, and it's a really, really tight circle.
Well, yeah, you guys couldn't be more farm to table, I guess. You know, yeah. Cut them, pick them, and stick them in the kitchen. You have something that I read that you wear, I don't know, on your toque or wherever that says no farms, no food.
Mm-hmm.
It's K-N-O-W, by the way. Because if there were no farms, there would be no food, right? But, I mean, that is, again, I didn't exactly grill David when he got back about what happened up there because, you know, that's not my thing. But what he said was that everything was so fresh and so, I mean, could not have been more perfect in that regard as well.
I was sitting next to Amanda, actually, because one of Andy's great things that he does is he'll literally send the guys out in between courses and get flowers from our garden to put in the salad and compose this gorgeous, gorgeous plate. And Amanda goes, she was freaking out a little bit because there's a little teeny inchworm on one of the flowers, and I was both kind of thrilled and I was glad that she got it and she found it. But it's, you know, everything is just that to the minute. That,
shall I
that
taste?
Fresh. By all means.
Let's see. Oh, my God. This looks
plus,
so
you raise your own beef,
mm-hmm.
which is
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man, get your own radio show. So you got, I mean, the story here, I want you to keep going on the story because you really have this family enclave with your own farm and everything's right there. It's not, you're sourcing locally, but you're really sourcing from yourselves.
Well, we are, but we're merely one of a network of farmers that we support. And Andy's worked with our own cattle operation as much as he has with some of our other farmers and purveyors to, you know, tweak their process a little bit and kind of there's very much a give and take. I mean, maybe Andy, you want to speak to that a little bit, but it's very much a collaborative effort in terms of, you know, supporting our farmers and our own, you know, but like I said, we're just one of the providers.
I don't even know how to ask this. The cattle just roaming in a pasture?
They're actually in my front yard.
Nice.
But they are.
Wait, are they pooping in your front yard too?
No. No, if they were literally in my front yard, I wouldn't have to mow. But no, I overlook the pastures there, and we have about 140 head of cattle that we raise. They're Scottish Highland cattle, so
they've
got
the furry ones.
Furry ones with the long horns are very cute, but they're
Braveheart. So
okay, there you go. So they're unpopular as a commercial breed, just because of their size. And but what they are for our style of cuisine is a really unique flavor, a really unique, I don't know, the meat itself, the cattle store fat differently. It's just the whole breed, and then the way that we're able to raise them is
there's not a lot of intramuscular fat.
No.
The fine grain, and it really actually has a flavor. I think most Americans were used to, we confuse fat with flavor, especially in beef. And so.
And it's actually a little off-putting if you're used to eating just garden variety feedlot that doesn't taste like anything. But I think once you get used to that grass-fed flavor, there's no going back. I mean, it's...
Well, guys, I'm going to have to jump in. Sorry, because we've got to take a break. Somebody's got to pay for the show, right? So this is David Nellis and David Hagedorn. It has a certain alliterative value to it.
Not in that order.
On Foodie and the Beast, we'll be right back with Kathy Shepard-Hora and Andy Little, and we'll tell you about what we're eating. Back in a minute.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Hey, Angie. Wow, you did it, didn't you? You went over to...
Went to Walmart and got the Pioneer DEH44 HD with built-in HD radio technology.
New HD2 HD3 channels, digital sound quality, and no subscription fees.
You got it. Hey, come on, let's ride. Since the Pioneer DEH44 HD is only $120 at Walmart, I'm taking you out for dinner.
Nice.
HD radio. More radio, more value. Now in the car audio department at Walmart.
It's holiday time, and when you need a break from all the planning and cooking and entertaining, spend time with family and friends in the relaxed and comfortable setting of New Potomac's Founding Farmers in the heart of Park Potomac, just off Route 270 at Montrose Road. We offer breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and brunch with menus of incredible scratch-made foods with ingredients from American family farmers from across the region. There's easy access parking, and we're open on Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. Visit wearefoundingfarmers.com for details and for reservations.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with David Nellis and my lovely co-host David Hagedorn from the Washington Post.
Howdy do.
The legendary Washington Post. And we're talking Shepherd Mansion up in Hanover, Pennsylvania. Kathy, we got a couple of minutes left. I want to make sure that everybody gets the 411 on the mansion at the end of this deal, but I want you to talk about the market that you just opened up.
So the Carriage House Market is located immediately behind the mansion, and what we do is we are trying to share some of the sources that we use in the restaurant. All of the food that we actually sell in the market is sourced from within 100 miles of Hanover, so if you truly are of that buy local, support your local farmer kind of thing, it's a one-stop shop. So you can buy our beef there, you can buy Rhett Farms pork and chicken. You can buy the free-range eggs. You can buy glass bottle dairy, you know, from a local dairy.
Is it local folk mostly, or do you? How far is Hanover from here? About 90 minutes.
Yeah, 90 minutes.
90. I mean,
David Bo really... Romsberg from Rutland Farms was bringing the chickens in the door when we were there.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yep. And so, the cheese they make there, too. Amazing stuff.
I mean, I think Washingtonians are, there's that tendency, like if you live in Potomac, to think that Bethesda's out of town and that kind of thing. But these kinds of places are really worth the hike, even for a day trip. What a great way
sure.
to spend a Sunday
Absolutely.
And come up there and see all those furry Absolutely. Cattle and everything.
Yep.
Let me ask you something quickly. I want to make sure people know exactly where. Hanover is known as the snack capital of the world because of Utz and all the
It is. It is 45 minutes north of Frederick, mm-hmm. so it's really not that much further. You can go up 15 and cut over. We're about 15 minutes east of Gettysburg. So it's just a little bit off out of the way, but it's country. It's beautiful. Very slow rolling hills, a lot of horse farm, you know.
And how do we find you on the web?
ShepherdMansion.com.
Yeah, that's it.
Pretty easy.
Andy, want to say anything else?
Yeah, you know, I come down into the markets in D.C., and a lot of the people that we work with come down to the D.C. markets, you know, DuPont Circle. The great thing about Shepherd Mansion is you can come to us and really, really get a true taste of the area. That's what we're trying to do. You already get to cook with the great products at home. Come up on a weekend. Take a couple days off in the week and taste the products in their own home, close to home, and really get that flavor of the area.
What about kids? Because, you know, we have two little. I mean, are kids cool up there, or is it really not a kid's place?
It depends on the kid. I mean, I don't let my own children run around the house. So all depends on what.
All right. How well, you know, yeah. We have a cattle prod, so we're good.
Okay. Just
zap,
shot collars.
Zap them into. Yeah, okay. It's great.
Good.
Well, listen, guys, thank you for hiking
thank
down
you for
here.
Having us.
And Andy, this is my first encounter with your food, and this was yummy.
Well, come see us.
I'd be licking the bowl if we weren't going to be on TV. Trust me. Thanks for joining us. All right, let's go back to Dwayne Fernandez, who has put... Tell us what we got in front of us again, Dwayne.
Well, right now, you have the Holiday Mule, which is a take on a classic Moscow Mule, which was created in 1941. And what I did was just muddle some fresh ginger, rosemary, cranberries, and added the Russia Standard Vodka, of course.
It is beautiful.
Yes, beautiful thank you so drink. Much. It's a perfect holiday, you know, sharing with, you know, the friends and family at home.
Here,
and
let's...
I love that the copper tins...
Na zdorovya.
Yeah. Do svidaniya.
The copper tins are like what you classically make a Moscow Mule in, which keeps the cocktail really cold.
Is that
and
what
chill.
They do? Because I was, yeah. I have never seen this before. This is gorgeous.
Not only does it look good, but it serves a purpose. You
right.
know, it just keeps the cocktail really chilled. And I'm so happy about this cocktail. It's a great hit with my friends at home.
That is good.
That is a
thank
perfect
so
holiday cocktail.
All right, so let me ask you about vodka, because there's so many different kinds of vodka, and I know you're here talking about Russian Standard vodka, but
right.
What makes it, for example, stand out? Why it as opposed to, you know, the Smirnoffs and the others of this world?
Why Russia Standard?
Yeah.
Well, Russia Standard is the premier vodka of Russia. It's the number one selling vodka in Russia. So it's very authentic. It's made with rare winter wheat, which not many vodkas use. It's also like, you know, in the Russian, has the certificate of origin. So it's like the classic way a Russian vodka should be made. It has a really nice medium body to it, Brett-like
it's
finish.
Delicious.
And has an oily taste on the tongue, but it's
so
fantastic.
So you can, I mean, is this a vodka that you would stick in the freezer and chill and just do shooters and...
Shooters?
Sip,
yeah,
sip,
shooters,
know.
Sip on.
I come from a different
have...
world, man. You know, but I mean, you could sip it on its own and everything.
Because
it has no, there. I mean, in this drink, there's none of that.
Bite.
Well, there's none of that kind of kerosene sort of taste that you can get from.
No, not at all. I mean, it's made with the finest winter wheat in Russia. They really put their heart and soul into this product, and I'm very happy to support it. And by the way, I have, and I don't mean to sound like this, but I have 6 bottles in my freezer right now chilling for the holidays.
I think you need counseling. But okay, I'll tell you what, why don't you get to work on the next
drink? I think he needs to share.
His refrigerator's in New York, so it's not going to happen. If you'll start up on the next one, and we'll bring in Sarah Von Pilaro, who is going to... We're going to do floral decorating. Hear me stuttering.
Calm down.
Sarah's with Urban Petals. Sarah, first of all, you come from a family of entrepreneurs. We've had Sam, mm-hmm. your husband, in on the show. How did you get into this biz?
I've always loved flowers. I mean, I've been a flower person my whole life. And
were you a flower child, actually?
Yes, actually.
You're
I think
a little
if you
young
ask
for
my
that.
Parents, I probably was. But I decided to pursue it when I was in college. I apprenticed with 2 designers in New York and just loved it. So I learned sort of the basics from them, and it took me a little while to decide to start my own business. But
well, I got a question for you, because you're working in a medium. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an art form, obviously,
yeah.
but you're working in a medium where things die very quickly and they turn brown and all that. So what kind of limitations and what kinds of stress does all that impose on you?
There's a lot of stress. It's actually just like food in that sense, right? You can't, if you want to have the freshest ingredients to serve to your customers, you have to go, you know, source them the day before or the day of. You don't want them sitting around or frozen varieties. So, we just did a bunch of events yesterday for the Kennedy Center Honors, and it required basically working around the clock for the last couple days. And to get them all done in time with the freshest ingredients, that's what you do. So, right.
But you can maintain them. If you take care of them, they
coolers,
really can last.
That's right. And you can make arrangements last at home for a week or even 2 weeks with some of the things I'm going to share with you
today.
All
right. Well, why don't we get into it? Because we've got a couple of minutes here. And go ahead. Make me a floral designer.
Okay. Okay.
I dare you.
I'm very excited.
I dare you.
I've taught thousands of people, and there's no one I can't teach. So no. Watch out. All right.
They say something about old dogs and new tricks. So go ahead, David. Say it.
Too easy.
Yeah. You guys. Okay. First of all, you need the proper tools. Okay. Like a chef's knife. Here are your fancy Japanese clippers. They're sharp, okay? So you got to be careful. That's important. The proper tools are crucial because it makes it easier to cut.
Is it okay
with.
To like cut your friends with these?
You could. You do.
That's absolutely the same rule in cooking. You have to use the proper.
That's right. You have to have the proper tools. So I think these are the best clippers, and you're going to feel it when you cut with them. Scissors and other things crush the stems, all right, which inhibits water absorption. So I know we're, you know, I just want to show you this, and I'll talk through. At the bottom of a stem of a rose here, there are little capillaries, and that's how the water goes in. If they are clogged up or smashed, water doesn't go in your flowers.
So I've always heard you had to cut them on an angle. Is that true?
No.
Okay. What I've heard is a lie.
It's helpful, but the most important thing you can do is recut the stems every day or every other day, okay? Because that opens it up. It's like, this is gross, but it's like a scab forms over the end, and you want to open it up every day so water can go in.
Do you need to do it under running water?
That can be helpful to stop water bubbles that can go up, but what I tell people is not absolutely, because that stops people from doing it.
Right.
Most important thing is just recut. Doesn't matter if it's not underwater, and change the water. Flowers like fresh water.
Are there certain kinds of flowers that are just better to work with? Because it seems to me the little dainty, delicate ones would probably just go first.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you can sort of tell if they're hardy by looking at them, right, or touching them. If they're stiff stems, I've got one here that we're going to use that's called Leucodendron Safari Sunset. All right? It's tough. This thing
Safari
lasts.
Safari Sunset.
Thank you, Carol Channing.
It lasts for, like, weeks. I mean, but you can feel. You can look at it. It's not.
But see, this is a great flower for, like, a cheap guy like me. I get these for Nikki, and they hang around for a couple of months. And I look like a sport still.
That's right.
I like it.
That's right. And this is my goal, is imagine if you arrange the flowers for her. Here. I think you're a rock star then.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen. But
it's not going to work.
Come on. I'm going to show you how. But yeah, sometimes garden flowers just don't last that long in your house. So you don't feel bad. You do what you can, and if they die, they die.
Okay.
The changing the water is really crucial. And by the way, restaurateurs, it's like, my number one pet peeve is when I walk in a restaurant
dead
and
flowers.
Your beautiful flower arrangement is sitting in muddy water.
Oh, yeah. It's gross, right? It smells.
It's gross.
Disgusting. Change it or ditch it. Just get rid of it. We don't want old flowers hanging around.
It leaves the subliminal message that they're not looking at the details.
I completely agree. So.
Well, we just trashed all those restaurateurs. You
know, no, we gave them a helpful hint.
Sarah, you better get somebody else to start your car when you leave here. all right, so we've got about a minute and a half to our break, so let's start real quick and arrange something.
Okay, good thing. All right,
this is you,
so
man.
You both have a vase, all right? Now,
is this an oi vase? Thank you.
It is now.
All right, and what I put in it is a tea leaf, T-I, feel this thing.
Oh.
Okay, this is a beautiful. Cool tropical leaf.
But this is not a tea.
It's not tea, like, yeah, you're not going to make tea out of it.
So should we cut the bottoms?
Yeah, you're going to cut the bottoms a little bit. Cut. Okay. Then, now you don't have to put it in there. Mm. I already put it in for you. I just wanted you to get a sense of it. What I do want you to do is trim up a little bit off the side. Just take a little, make a little cut or a ribbon out of it. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. You can't hurt it and you can't mess it up.
These would be good toenail clippers for dogs, too.
Oh, yeah. ironically, they're also used in as hoof trimmers by wool growers.
Hey, Nick, really. Come over here. Let me trim your hoof there, baby.
All right. That piece you have there,
yeah.
I'm going to give you a little bit of wire.
Okay.
I just want you to make a loop like I did. I prepped some of these for you. Here's some wire. Okay. You can make a loop with the big piece, like David's doing, or the little piece.
Okay.
I like to make lots of loops. Just loop it in your hand.
We'll be loopy.
Okay.
Loopy. David's good
Take
at loopy.
Take a little bit of wire and just, like, secure it. All right? Just
Halfway
wrap around.
Up or somewhere?
Nah, towards the bottom. Doesn't matter where.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your loop.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Great. Okay, then cut the rest of the wire off.
Mama, look at me. I'm a floral decorator.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
All right, so good. So you could have, with that one leaf, wrapped it inside your vase, which I already had done, where I just curled it in my hand and wrapped it in, and then I made a little loop. I'll fix your loop.
Oh,
you just don't worry about it. Okay?
Oh,
is that one of the seven words?
You are out of the loop, David.
You've got some
extra loops. My loop.
I made some loops for
you. Yeah, okay.
The loops are part of looking cool.
What a nice woman.
All right. Next up. Just leave it down there. Okay. The other thing you need to do is prep your flowers. That's Safari Sunset.
Yeah.
Take one, pass one down, please.
He's got one.
All right. No, you've got prepped ones because these are for you to prep. See that? Here's what happens. It's important that I teach people. You have to break down the flower. So it came like this. You want to pull all the lateral pieces off so that you can get at least...
Oh, that's how you stretch your arrangements,
that's
too.
That's right. From one stem, we get many. Then do this. Look. It's so fun.
Just
clean
peel all
it.
Those off.
It just comes right off.
Now they're going to love us in the studio.
I know. We're gonna clean up.
That's so these leaves don't go below the waterline and get all gunky.
All right.
So
we cut the bottom, correct?
You can, well, yeah. And actually, I've got some that are already prepped for you. But you would cut it. So you feel that? All right. You've got those done, cleaned.
Yeah.
The other reason why you want to get the leaves off is two things. David said, one, that if underneath the waterline, it creates bacteria. The second thing is, check it out. As the water's traveling up the stem, if it stops to hydrate the greenery, it doesn't go to the top.
Right.
Okay? Obvious.
Now, I know this is radio and theater of the mind. You got to watch the TV show on Washington Nonstop to see this. But
yeah, you do. You do. I've got videos of it on my website,
All
too.
Right.
On Urban Petals.
Urban Petals. There
That's
we are.
Right.
You
All
really
right.
want to see David do this badly instead of just listening to him do
He's
it
He's got one stem in his hand. Okay. Great. Now I'm going to hand you some that I've already prepped. Ready?
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You've got those there.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other thing we need to prep. I've got roses
there
prepped
you
for you.
Oh, good.
Okay. Here, and I'm going to talk about the roses in just a second.
We need to take a break,
yeah,
don't we?
We'll All right. come back.
All right. I'll tell you what. We're going
to
take a break. We've got Sarah Von Pollaro in and from Urban Petals, and we're doing floral decorating. I'm actually doing it. This is Foodie and the Beast with David minus Nikki Nellis, and we'll be back in a sec.
It's holiday time, and when you need a break from all the planning and cooking and entertaining, spend time with family and friends in the relaxed and comfortable setting of New Potomac's Founding Farmers in the heart of Park Potomac, just off Route 270 at Montrose Road. We offer breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and brunch with menus of incredible scratch-made foods with ingredients from American family farmers from across the region. There's easy access parking, and we're open on Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. Visit wearefoundingfarmers.com for details and for reservations.
My wireless internet bill was really adding up. So to save some money, I just used my neighbor's unpassword-protected Wi-Fi for free.
It's unpassword-protected because the signal doesn't go outside of the house. Now get off my couch.
Not to mention, I recharge my laptop for free.
Mm-hmm, not free.
And while I wait for all my downloads, they really need more bandwidth. I just grab a soda. Not much of a diet fan, but beggars can't be choosers.
You're not begging, you're just choosing.
Neighbors are great.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here at 10 o'clock on WFED. Please join me this week for my special guest, Mary Agee, who's president and CEO of Northern Virginia Family Service. She'll tell you all about NVFS and its special needs. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. Check us out at ofplaw.com.
Hey, Angie. Wow, you did it, didn't you? You went over to...
Mm-hmm. Went to Walmart and got the Pioneer DEH44 HD with built-in HD radio technology.
New HD2, HD3 channels, digital sound quality, and no subscription fees.
You got it. Hey, come on, let's ride. Since the Pioneer DEH44 HD is only $120 at Walmart, I'm taking you out for dinner.
Nice.
HD Radio. More radio, more value. Now in the car audio department at Walmart.
And we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David Nikki Nellis, except that Nikki Nellis is David Hagedorn today, and David's talking with Sarah Von Pilaro about floral decorating.
Which I love. So we're going to make this beautiful hand arrangement.
Hand-tied arrangement. Mm. So let's also mention, too, that you have coffee break roses, which I thought you'd like.
And I do.
Fit this morning. Okay, and so we have those. And one little quick trick about roses that you probably know, hydrating them in warm water.
No, I didn't know.
Okay, so they love warm water.
Oh.
Especially if they do that sad head flop thing when you get them home and, you know, it's over. Just cut them and put them in warm water.
So I can do that to my partner, too, when he gets that sad
you can
head
when
flop
he's
thing.
Like,
hydrate him in warm water.
All right, so are you ready to make it?
Yes, let's make it.
So you know, because I've seen you there picking it up, that instead of creating it right into the arrangement, you can make it bigger and fuller in your hand. All right, so you're going to start with a rose, mm-hmm. and then I prepped some feather eucalyptus for you. Okay, do you see that in your little... All right, nice.
Beautiful.
Good. Okay, so just pick up the feather eucalyptus and put it in between the flowers. Yep, just like that. Okay,
good.
Great. So just up, up, and then another rose can go in. You've got some safari sunset here. And as you're, this is quick to show you this, but the big key here is going in at an angle. Okay? Look, do you see that on the side? So what I'm doing
is
I'm
crook it in between your thumb and your pointer finger.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And what's nice about creating hand-tied arrangements is that you don't have to stress out about the vase beforehand, all right? And it allows you to take...
He looks like he's stressing
He's
out.
Stressing. He's just sweating. I wish we could tell everyone.
He's got a schwitz on.
No, you know what? I really did not know how to do this right before because I was doing them straight on.
Straight on. Yeah,
and then it's flopping all over the place.
Okay. Yeah, and somehow... I don't know how you got out of this, David, but we're going to get to you. I'm making it for you.
I had business.
I know. All right, here we go. So, and you know what? You can tell if you're doing it correctly if the stems on the bottom are also coming out at an angle.
Right, like radiating.
Radiating. You
but
got
then
it.
How do you get them in something?
Okay, I'm going to show you.
Oh, all right.
It's important.
Okay.
Good question.
Had
right.
you been working instead
of... Yeah, you would know.
Oh my God. Blah, blah, blah.
All right. This
is Nikki here?
I know. And I'm going to pick up my little leaf ribbons. Then I'll show you how you get them in.
Here.
I've got rubber bands on my hand. All right, I'm going to flop one over there, throw that there. And you're going to take a rubber band and go around the edge to secure the arrangement. It's really simple, like this. All right, that's going to hold those stems together.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm going to just trim these down a little bit. The cool thing about hand-tied arrangements is because I told you you want to recut the stems as often as possible, you're going to go ahead and be able to just pull that right out of the vase
Beautiful.
Every day.
Here, let me get this for the camera. All right. So
yeah,
we got about 45 seconds.
Okay.
So I think one of the great things that I read about you, because you've got a heart, you work with Paul Newman's group and all of that, is that when you're done with all these floral decorations, you make sure they go somewhere the next day and do some good. Yeah?
That's right. Absolutely. So last night, after I mentioned we did some arrangements for a big luncheon for the county center, we took them to a women's shelter, and it was so much fun because, you know, these arrangements sit on the table for 3 hours. They look beautiful in front of the guests, but they're still good afterwards. And I just can't stand the thought of them going in the trash or...
Well, that
you
would
know,
be criminal.
Away. Exactly.
If they can brighten somebody's life, it's beautiful.
You got it. So we choose different nonprofits and take them there, and it's really fun.
Well,
so.
You're a lovely person. You do lovely things. And I'm sorry I didn't prove to be as apt a student as Hagedorn, but...
You did. You,
that's in a show biz,
how shocking.
Baby. So tell everybody how to reach you on Urban Petals.
Right. So just go right to the website. It's really simple, urbanpetals.com. And I'm excited to tell you on Tuesday you can buy some toolkits, these great tools that I've showed you today, in Whole Foods.
Awesome.
So,
oh, well, that's terrific.
Yeah. So you'll see them there next
Look
to the
Look at you. You're becoming a conglomerate.
I'm working on it.
All right.
We'll
good. Well, listen, say hi to Sam for us. And thanks so much for coming in. And we are going to rock and roll and move right on. Do we have the Voltaggio brothers on the phone?
Hello.
Hello. We got who's that, Brian?
That's Brian, yes.
Michael, are you there?
I'm here.
We got our guys. Okay, good. Guys, welcome to Foodie and the Beast. you know, let's just start from the start. Great chefs are rare to begin with, but to get two from one family is incredibly rare. How did that happen? What happened in your mom's kitchen that made all this possible?
I think it's just because she actually made sure we sat down at the table and cooked. I mean, my mom was, she was always in the kitchen. She has three children and she was very busy. She was a single mom for some time. And so, I think it was just sort of the work ethic of making sure that she still maintained that 5:30 dinner every day and watching that happen. You know, I think we got really excited about food. Food was always part of our family.
You guys had dinner at 5:30? How did you pull that off?
Child labor. Well,
yes, exactly. It's exactly how it happened. Yeah, trust me. We had probably knives in our hands probably before we should have. Definitely.
That sounds like a social services situation to me, Brian. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Well, it is true. but now we're to the point where there's the statute of limitations is up. We're old enough now.
Well,
I just wasn't smart enough, except that, I mean, all I could do was work in the food service industry.
Oh, the self-effacing Michael Voltaggio was. Well, let me ask another question, because I was thinking along this brother's theme, and this may sound weird, but if you talk about guys like Dizzy and Paul Dean, who were both pitching greats, but their styles couldn't have been any more different than they were. And what about you guys? I mean, do you feel like, you know, basically you're East and West Coast versions of each other, or are you radically different in some ways that I'm not aware of?
I definitely take. Go ahead, Mike.
You go ahead, Brian.
You guys are so polite. I'd punch my brother and.
I'm still
45
in LA.
Huh?
Yeah,
it's early.
It is early. I'm surprised he's up. As chefs, we obviously you go and you work under a lot of different people. And Michael and I both had experiences that we weren't in the same kitchen. We were only in the same kitchen very short amount of time in Frederick when we were growing up. So our experiences are different, and so. You'll see influences from the people we've worked for, the places we've traveled, the food we've eaten. So, I was told a long time ago when I was first starting out that, you go out there and you work under all these different people and then you'll create your own style, your own, all of these influences will influence your food when you become a chef. And so I think it's apparent between the two of us. I mean, yes, we are brothers, but there are similarities. I mean, because, the things that we remember from childhood, which sometimes will translate into a plate or a dish or an idea, well, we share those. Because we both had those experiences. So you might see some similarities there. But for most part of them, you'll see that, Michael tends to be a little bit more risky with some things. And when he comes through, it's astounding. I mean, it's pretty damn good. And then when I'm a little bit more reserved sometimes in my flavor profiles or so forth. But that might just be because he's middle child.
Well, Brian, you two just came out with this amazing cookbook, Volt Inc. How did that dynamic play out when you were collaborating on the book?
I think we did a good job putting it together, collaborating on it. I think the process of deciding, to come to where it was categorized took some time, because we both had our own ideas for what we wanted to do, but then we settled on this idea of family. It all started with family, and we're starting to think what does that mean to us, and how are we going to categorize the book? And first, we started thinking, we'll pick one ingredient, and we'll each do recipes, cooking that ingredient. But it didn't work for us because we wanted to be authentic in the book. And so, if Michael didn't have recipes, or if I didn't have recipes that fit a certain ingredient, then we would have had to have made them up just for the book. So we expanded out, or we sort of, pulled the microscope out, and then we came up with categorizing by family of food, which also became an educational piece because a lot of people don't know that, coriander and parsley and carrots are all in the same family. And so, you can cook within that family and actually come up with some really great flavor combinations that normally you wouldn't think of.
Well, that's what was interesting to me. There are 20 food families of ingredients in the book, and Michael, you and I don't know each other. Brian and I know each other kind of at a distance, but Brian knows my wife, Nikki, who's a great chef and knows everything about food and cooking. And, I was reading through the book and didn't have her to help me, so I was reading more carefully. And I was blown away by some of the things that are actually part of the same families that you know, I mean, the casual diner would not be aware of and not really get that they go together. I have a question for you, because there's so many recipes in this book. Are they all, I mean, are these things that all of you guys worked up? Because, you know, you've got new twists on old favorites. I was looking at Brian's recipe for sockeye salmon with bagel flavors and more. And, Michael, you've got a soft-shell crab recipe in there that has an Old Bay puree. I mean, these are all sort of new twists on old themes. Is that just from experimenting, or did you come across these somewhere? How did that happen?
I mean, a lot of stuff starts with an ingredient, like the, obviously, soft-shell crabs. I mean, we grew up eating those in Maryland, and I live in L.A., and when we got them out here, you know, you start thinking, like, oh, what goes with, soft-shell crabs? So you start looking back at what you've eaten with it in the past, and then you develop something on your own. It's just, I mean, the inspiration usually comes from an idea or something that you've experienced before in your life, and then you just recreate it in a way that makes it, you know, a little more fun or a little more interesting.
All right. You got a question, yes?
A lot of the recipes do seem complex, but there are plenty that are accessible. Like, what about this sour cream coffee cake?
Yeah, no, we wanted to make sure that we included recipes that were, that were accessible to the home cook, we wanted this book to also be a window into who we are as professional chefs, and where we are, and sort of categorize, the recipes that we've done along the way. And, but I mean, that coffee cake though is something that we did as a gift at Bolt. So, I mean, it's still things that are included in our kitchens or pieces of things that we do, within our restaurant kitchens. But we wanted to make it easy for people to tackle at home too, as well. And so, I mean, there's suggestions along the way about, some ways that you can change it. But we look at the book also as to be, to inspire people to at least just go home and try something and just try to cook. And, if they take away a piece of a dish, I mean, the dishes are composed of several different recipes. So there might be a side dish or a puree or something like that that you might pull from one dish and be able to include in your favorite roasted chicken, alongside. So, people don't need to cook through the book, for the entire recipes. Like, experiment through, cook the things that you're capable of doing, and just, make sure you're able to succeed and go step by step.
All right, guys, I'm going to have to jump in because we've got to take a quick break. We're talking to chefs, cookbook authors, and TV stars, Brian and Michael Voltaggio, and we're talking about their new book, Volt Inc., and we'll be back on Foodie and the Beast in 2 seconds.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Yeah, my brother got an Insignia HD Radio Portable last month, and he really enjoys his workouts now.
Yep, HD Radio broadcasts are great. All kinds of new stuff on the HD2, HD3 channels.
And the Insignia HD Radio Portable is $49.99?
Yes, it's a great value.
Whoa, lead the way.
And did you know Insignia also offers an HD Radio Boombox for just $99?
Insignia HD Radio receivers. Get them now at Best Buy. HD Radio. More radio, more value.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map, so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Torno, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Torno, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David Nellis and my buddy David Hagedorn from the Washington Post. Before we get back to the show, I just want to quickly thank the folks that support the show and make it possible to be on the air. The guys at Georgetown Bagelry, The folks at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's Rustico and Vermilion and Buzz Bakery and Birch and Barley and Church Key. Our friends at Founding Farmers, the folks at Notte Bianchi Dish Circle Bistro, the Bethesda Central Farm Market, which was hopping this morning when I drove by. Our friends at Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers, and our newest sponsor, Carmine's. Hey, thank you very much.
That's a delicious meatball.
Oh, yeah, okay. So now we've got Brian and Michael Voltaggio on the phone. And, guys, we've been talking about your new cookbook, Volt Inc. I want to talk about Lunchbox and some other things. We got about 5 minutes left. But I want to make sure everybody listening knows how to find your cookbook online or in bookstores. So somebody do the promo.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely find our book in a Williams Sonoma. We've been doing some signings with them as well. You can go to Amazon, but also go to Michael's Restaurant Inc. in L.A. And his restaurant Inc. Sack. You can pick it up there, direct copy. That way, you can actually get them to sign it. That or you could go to VoltRestaurant.com and I can actually mail them out too, and or you can stop in a restaurant. So all of those are good. But if you're looking to get a signed copy, then go into the restaurants.
Page 20 on the Williams-Sonoma catalog. Yeah. We've got it right here.
Okay. Yep. You guys are going global.
And now, you guys, I want people to have the impression that all you do is this highfalutin stuff. I mean, you've just opened Lunchbox, Brian, and you're making sandwiches that are like $4 or $5, amazingly.
Yeah.
And Michael place in Los Angeles doing the same kind of thing. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
Uh-oh.
Michael, Mike, you there?
Oh, we lost Michael. All right, well, Brian, it's all yours, man.
Okay, well, Lunchbox just opened yesterday, and we just opened for service about 10 minutes ago. And so it seems to be going really well. We're doing quick sandwiches, pressed hot sandwiches. We have 5 to 6 different menu selections every day. The menu is going to stay fluid. We wanted to open it was an existing coffee shop. We went in and just, really just reface it and open quick because we wanted to offer something that was quick, fun, easy, for the family on the go. We're right next to the Frederick Library, so if families are coming down to the library, it's definitely an easy way to stop in and get something great, hot, and wholesome.
Well, the thing,
soups and salads and really, really simple. Yeah.
You know, our listening audience is in Metro D.C., and I think for a lot of people, Frederick seems like, a faraway place. We've started coming down there. South Market Street is unbelievable. You've got a beautiful restaurant, Volt, right there on Market Street. But Frederick is a great getaway place for a fast, it's like going to another world. And now there's another great eatery. Why simple foods? Why sandwiches? Because that's not your M.O.
But one thing that was very popular is we had a $14 price fixed lunch that we're doing at the bar. And we started doing that for the downtown business person or casual shopper who was just looking for a quick bite to eat. Nothing super fancy to say the least. And so we are planning on closing for lunch and we are starting January 1st, except for Saturdays and Sundays, we're going to remain open at Bolt. So I still wanted to offer that same style of lunch. I wanted people to have something that was quick, easy, be able to get in 15 minutes or 20 minutes or so and get out, because people are busy now. I mean, I get that. But we want to close lunch at Volt because we want to solely focus on dinner service and weekend service. We're actually opening an extra day. We're opening on Tuesdays. So we'll be open Tuesday through Sunday. And so this was sort of a replacement for that, but also, but thought out. I mean, we wanted to if we're going to take away a service, we wanted to add another amenity,
Brian,
another idea, another.
Very quickly, is your North Market kitchen project a go?
It is working. We were pursuing all of these projects at the same time. That one has taken the third position right now just because we were planning on being in the space already. But as we're working with the city to try to navigate through some of these, insane water and sewer and tap fees, which they've come up with a great solution. We're on board. And it's just, next we're going to be opening a diner on East Street, which is parallel to Market. That'll debut in March or April. Then I'm also still working on Range. It's going to be in Chevy Chase.
You're going to become a holding company.
No.
Brian.
That's the reason for taking it slow.
Mogul, yeah. Listen, Brian, unfortunately, we got to get going because the show's about to end, but you've been great. I really appreciate your coming on. We lost Michael. We'll connect with him again, and best of luck, because I remember meeting you when you were exec chef at Charlie Palmer at the very beginning, and you have come a long way in a short time, so congratulations on all that.
And he's a mensch.
Well, thank you.
And you're a good guy.